You may be a guest here and feel like, well, somewhat of an outsider, but you don't need to feel like that. Because outside of what we call, you know, this assembly is the arms of God that are just reaching for anybody. Truly. He's trying to just save. He's trying to heal. He's trying to help, advance, pull us together. There may be some hurts represented in this very building right now that you've just given up on healing for it. And this could be your time for God to say, I'll show you what I can do. Doesn't matter how long ago it was, God is a healer. I want to read my text so you can sit down, and I want to make a few comments in another direction. But I'm going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16 through 21. And reading from the New King James Version, he said, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God, they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's how we get our words that we're reading today. That's how we get our doctrine that we're so enraptured by. Holy men of God spake, Old Testament, New Testament. They spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk about that for a minute or two. Moved by the Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, that we all can be and are being and will be moved by the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you today for the wonderful presence and unity in this house right now. Oh, Lord, I know anything is possible in this place today. And I pray, God, today indeed that you would abide with us. Lord, let your love be shown and your Spirit draw men to you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We thank you, God. Amen. You may be seated. I wanted to talk about the previous couple of weeks, and I am so excited. I mean, so excited and pleased with the effort here. And I know I make mention of this every time, and I know, and we need to be aware when we're gathering for prayer, there's people praying at their homes that are traveling much, much further than many of us do. I travel about almost 6 minutes to get here. It's not a big stretch for me to do that. Probably closer than I've ever been to this church, and I'm thankful. But those that travel further, I know you're praying at home. And if you're not, then you know that I know you are, so don't let me know something that I'm not knowing. Kind of tied it into a knot right there, didn't I? Say, Lord, I got to pray because Pastor knows I am, and I don't want that knowledge to be an unknown thing or a lie. Anyway, here is the thing that is so awesome is the numbers of people that are coming, the you that are here every night. And I mean, we've had nights I thought, you know, I think it's going to be a very skinny crowd, and people just keep coming in and coming in. And we have not been below 30 for a prayer meeting ever. Now, I remember some years ago when we were doing this, 2011 or 12, we were hoping we could have 30, and we usually didn't hit that amount. And I'm thankful for the showing. That it shows a great bit of maturity and focus and unity in the church. Amen. This is an awesome thing, and I'm so thankful for it. But secondly, and even more important to that, is the spirit that is here when we get here, because people are coming with expectations. And amen, it's not a marathon. You know, we pray about 40 minutes, and then we sing a couple of courses and then read a scripture and pray just a little bit more. And we've been out at or before an hour's up. And I think that's allowing us to think, hey, I'm going to run back here again. But I just wanted to say that the results of that are not just here, but I remind you, they're coming throughout the year. Because we are plowing the field. We're putting seed in the ground. And we may come in here on a summer Sunday or a summer midweek service when, you know, a quarter of the church is on vacation, and suddenly it breaks loose in here and you're thinking, I never saw that coming. But just go back to January and realize we were getting ready for a good year right now. Amen. I know when tomorrow you wake up and you're going to be, you're remembering, oh no, we're on that third week, and now added to the caffeine and the sugar and the bread is now we're removing the meat from the diet. And, you know, Lord, how much worse could it get? But hold on, there's another week coming after that. But hang in there. God is honored by this. What does fasting do? It takes away that part that the flesh loves or takes joy in, and it pulls that down to what causes us to go and focus on the spiritual rather than the earthly things. And I would advise you to shut out distractions in your life. Let's make use of this. And there's things and there's times we can abuse a fast by weighing ourselves in the flesh in another way when we deprive it in another. But we need to be sure that our mindset is, God, this is a time of giving it up for you and for my soul, that you can allow your word to impact me and your spirit to guide me. Amen. Thank you, God. I know he's going to bless us, and I'm so thankful for what God is doing. And it is so easy to pray when there's a crowd here. It really is. It's just easier, and it's a blessing. And I thank you all for doing this. Just has been another great week. Amen. We were gone last weekend, and y'all just unplugged and had revival, and that's great. You just had a great move of the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for that. It was one of my best Sundays, truly. Let me just explain a little bit about being a pastor in a church. Is you got about 100 things on your mind when you get to church. Maybe not all at once, but they're just there. And not worry and burdens like that. It's just, you know, we want Sunday to be great. And just the presentation of Haiti today was, we put some thought into that and everything, and I'm glad it went off wonderfully, and I think the results are going to be there for that. But whenever I go away somewhere and ask to preach at another church like I was in Georgia at Brother Gifford and Sister Gifford's church last week, it's the easiest Sunday I could ever have, because all I'm doing is going there to preach. Just go preach. My wife drove home. She did. She drove all the way home. And so all I had to do is sit in the passenger seat and ride home after the service. And so it was awesome. But then after I got through preaching and I got the text and saw Mark getting baptized in the baptistry and being filled and heard that Brandon's sister Allie got the Holy Ghost, there couldn't have been any better than that right there. And it was just the best Sunday, I think, that I've had in a long time. And here you were having a best Sunday too, right here. I'm glad when God's stuff can be our favorite stuff. Amen. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I will tell you this, and it's not prophecy, it's just a promise, that I'm not going to preach very long today. So I just want you to, you know, have that mindset of, you know what, not here for a long time. Our guests that are here, honored to have all of you. Amen. Good to see you. I saw Vince walk in with his wife. Good to see you, Vince. That's a great... to have you. I haven't seen you in a while, and good to see you back. And others that were here, our guests from last winter, good to have you back this winter. And here we are always for anybody that wants to come and enjoy our sunshine. Amen. And we've been having a Florida week. Amen. Got them cold days out of the way the other day, and amen. I love Florida. Amen. Amen. Seriously, that's why I live here. Revelations 3:20. Jesus is speaking now to John as he is stranded on that island, realizing that he's got a purpose. The Lord said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice. The knocking, we all know what knocking sounds like. But he said, if anyone hears my voice, the purpose in any sermon that is preached is that we hear the message, but then that we hear the message within the message, which is the voice of God. What am I saying? We can preach a message on Jesus wept. Don't know how long it would be. Wouldn't be a series. But if I preached a message on Jesus wept, you would hear the words that Jesus wept because of his love for Lazarus, but most likely because he wept because they couldn't believe that he was the answer to a man that's been dead 4 days. And he wept. But that weeping, we could diagnose it in different directions, and you would hear the points and hear the sermon, but if there might be a something in you that you hear that somebody else hears differently. And so there's a difference there. And so there's a message always within the message. And someone may say, you know, really what I got out of that message was, and you hear their revelation and yours is totally different. Because there's going to be a message within it that your soul needs. There's going to be a nugget that maybe no one else even heard, but you heard it. And that's what we pray for is, God, I pray today that I want to hear your voice today. And I want to hear what you have here for me. Because he's got something for everybody if we open our ears. That's why Jesus said so many times, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Let him hear beyond the human words and let him hear what the Spirit says. I was standing over there waiting in the wings and for when the song ended, and I just had this feeling that there are couples here, and that might be a couple or a couple of couples, but there's someone here that needs something in their life to heal them. I just felt it. I thought, Lord, I believe there's something for couples in this church, that maybe in the relationship or maybe in their life, there's something that's weighing them down. But I felt in the Holy Ghost that God wants to heal something today. Right. Amen. Amen. Great opportunity for healing is just to blend with everybody else and just come down. And, yep, we're just here to pray for good fellowship, you know. You don't have to tell anybody what you're being prayed for. And the God who sees in secret is going to bless you openly, and no one's going to know, be the wiser. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So, to my text, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit. Now, moved by the Holy Spirit really is meaning that they weren't using their words. We know that. When they wrote something down, it was God that got into the seat of the secretary, and he began to dictate to their spirit what they needed to write down. And so when we read the Old Testament and we read these words of the New, we're reading the Word of God. He is the author of those divine words, and I thank God for what he has given us. When the Spirit would move on them. Now, I'll tell you, we've had some great times here, but one of the best services you'll ever have is when the Spirit moves on you. Yeah. Amen? You may leave saying, did you see what happened to that one or this one and how they responded? But your best service is going to be when it moves on you. When God moves on you, that's when something else is going to happen from another world, and he's going to plug into your problem. He's going to relieve you of your stress. God's going to empower you, and you will leave changed when he moves on you. Amen. Because God cannot move and leave things the way they were. Realize this. When he moves, things they're going to be different. Thank God for it. When the Spirit of God moved on Samson, he wasn't worth anything until the Spirit of the Lord moved on him. But in order for the Spirit to move on him, he had to keep his hair from being cut. It was a Nazarite vow. Had to keep his hair uncut. So I would imagine that hair was a little bit of a burden to him. When my hair gets to where I can just feel a little edge of it, you know, and it doesn't grow in a lot of places on my head right now. It's starting to recede somewhat. You know, it's a conservative type hair I have. It just doesn't encroach much. But so I go to the barber and I say, shave it off. I just want it like tight as you can get it. I just don't like it, you know, having none, but then it's messy, you know. And so I'm getting that old man haircut already, getting in, you know, line to do that. But Samson, think about this, probably turban up on his head, weighing him down. And he realized, I have to have this in order to have the power of God. And I may need it at some time. And, you know, we know his story very well, I'm sure. But because of the promise that was being kept, it was when the Spirit of God moved on him that he became powerful. My Bible that I had as a child, and I don't know if any Bible you pick up that's a kid's Bible in church, you look and it's got the pictures. And that's the Bible I always wanted. Was, you know, as a kid, you want to see the pictures. And one of the pictures, you know, Daniel and Lion's Den, but one of them was Samson. And Samson was muscular. I mean, some of the pictures had him as a very muscular guy. And I'm thinking, if the Spirit of the Lord is going to move on a man to give glory to God, I don't think he's going to have a lot of muscles. I think he'd be more like me. Very slight. Not real tall. Turban on his head to make him look a little taller. But people knew that it was just a turban making you look tall. And basically, he's just a small guy. Which was the glory of it all, that this little guy can take the ropes that he's been bound with and just break them loose and whip 1,000 Philistines with a piece of a donkey head. Think about that. No sword. Didn't have a submachine gun. He had a piece of a donkey's jaw and used it to slay 1,000 men. I figured in my mind, how could he have done that? Unless he just... that thing was slinging so fast, it was kind of like a saw blade, you know, just, I don't know. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and that was the glory of God. If the Spirit of the Lord had not come upon Samson, well, it didn't come on him the last time. And he rose up with his hair cut off, wondering, is that really the connection, or am I just real good? And one of the things I have to remind myself, God, if anything good is going to happen, I've got to realize it's my connection to you. I've got to maintain my connection to you, God. And I can't think that that's just ever me. It's always going to be God. Amen. All good things come from above. We know that. But if I'm going to be used of God and be blessed of God, I've got to keep the line open between me and God. I'll tell you something. If I were to go a day without prayer, I may not notice it, and you may not notice it, and I could go 2 days, and I may could still be able to get by. But there's somewhere that in that third or fourth day, I'm believing that my flesh is going to start taking a little more control than it should. And I think that my flesh is going to outgrow the Spirit, and the Spirit's going to become dominated by my flesh, and I'm not going to hear from God, and I won't be able to walk with God, and I won't be able to hear the voice of God in my mind. And that's the time that I realize I am just a man, and I'm weak unless I have the anointing of God on my life that has to come through prayer and the Word of God. The Spirit of the Lord has to move on us. We have to desire the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah. Amen. I'm just talking to you simply today about the Spirit of God moving on you. We need to have the Spirit of God moving on us. How do we know it's moving? I believe most of us, when we received the Holy Spirit, we felt God. That Holy Ghost power when it moves. I love to sing about it. I love to feel it. But when that Holy Ghost power moves, you've got that divine connection. Amen. When you feel yourself going a day or two and you haven't felt it, you need to get into a prayer room. You need to go into your knee, onto your prayer closet, on your knees before God. And you need to say, "Dear Lord, I'm here to praise you, but I want to be honest with you. I want to feel your presence one more time, Lord. My flesh desires to feel your presence one more time. I don't ever want to get used to not feeling the presence of God. Lord, in your name, give us a hunger for a moving of your Spirit, Lord. Let us be hungry, God, for a move of the Holy Ghost in this place, Lord. Oh, Lord, we come in with our minds right. We come up with our minds made up. Lord, I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to worship you until the glory falls. I'm going to lift my hands and praise you until something stirs in that service, God. I'm going to do something that whatever I've got to do until my soul is satisfied with the presence of God. I'm thankful, so thankful for our prayer meetings. I told you that. But, Lord, don't let me think that's a deposit that I'm making. I don't want to make myself believe that I'm weighing myself spiritually there so in February I can just take it easy. I'll tell you what I want to see in February. I want to see some prayer meetings in here again. I want to have the presence of God moving at will in this place in February. I want March to be great revival in this church. Amen. I want divine healings in March and April. I want to see that baptistry used every Sunday in May and June and July. I want to have a revival that never ends when we get into August and September. Hallelujah. I want to see God be God in this house. I want to see the power and the presence of the Almighty God every time we come come into the house of God. Lord, I got to see your glory. I want to see your presence. I want to see your presence, Lord. Oh, holy God. What happens when we fast is it repositions our focal point. It does. It takes it off of me and what I want. And it puts it on my walk with God, my relationship with Him. And I begin to see things from heaven's point of view. From my point of view, trust me, in the flesh, there's times we can't wait to get out of here on Sunday because we got our eyes on a steak dinner. If you do, you better hurry today because time's running out. Monday, it's no meat. And that's all right. That's our flesh. Man, I'll tell you, I can easily get distracted. I can be up here preaching, and all of a sudden, while I'm preaching in the middle of that sentence, I just think, what are we going to eat when we get out of here? That's my flesh. It'll do that until it's dead. All right. Well, when we fast, it shuts down. No, mine don't. Nope. Open the freezer to get the bag of ice. The bag of ice, because, you know, we drink water with ice. And there behind the bag of ice, Bluebell. I said, who put you there? What are you doing? I'm in the garage. Nobody can see me. I ain't gonna lie. I walked away from it, shut the door. Ain't worth it. Probably got an immediate headache if I'd ate that stuff. Hadn't had sugar in so long. Amen. The flesh dies, but that mind can still be just as distracted. Sat over there on that the perch there where the ministry is the other day, and I lost my train of thought, or, you know, I kind of wandered a little bit. And I was just, in my mind, I was thinking, that's about the length of a bowling lane. Serious. And I thought, if you could roll a bowling ball, I wonder if that would be the distance, or would it be 2 or 3 more feet further, or... That was my thought one time. I was over there just thinking, is this the width of a bowling lane? See, I'm a genius. I think you realize that. I'm thinking about bowling in church. And I came to and I thought, I am so thankful that our thoughts are not displayed on a screen. You know, and you see me bowl. I'm not even a bowler. I can't bowl good at all. But here my thought was, you know. So we are never going to shut this flesh down. All right? Errant and inerrant thoughts are going to come into our minds at all times. But when we are depriving it of what it truly wants and needs, we're shoving that out of the way, and the void, in that void comes the presence of God. And oh, I'll tell you, it is so much easier to be moved by the presence of God, to be moved by His Spirit when I'm lined up with His purpose. We've got to be lined up with His desire and with His purpose. Dear Lord, I pray, help us today, God, and draw us into a relationship with You, Lord, where our heart's desire, God, is that You would move us by Your presence, Lord. Holy men of God, spake as they were moved. People in this church, we need to realize when the Holy Ghost moves on us, we need to let God go ahead and move. If He says you need to go get prayed for, you need to get prayed for. If you need to pray with somebody, you need to pray with them, but you need to be moved by the Holy Ghost. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We need to be able to react to what the Lord is asking us to do. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Yes. Don't get involved in the worldly things that draw you away. But if you're going to be filled with the Spirit. Let God have His way in your life. 2 Peter 3:18, he writes, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, I need to grow in Your grace, Your favor, and in the knowledge of the Lord. If I can grow in His grace, if I can draw nigh unto Him, if I can put something down and pick something up, put down the carnal, pick up the spiritual, I'll grow in that grace. In the Bible, they grew in the Spirit. They grew in the Spirit. Some stop growing, and then they have nothing fresh to fuel their worship. One reason we need to grow is we need to have new fuel for our worship. We need to have something to praise Him for. I'll tell you, if you don't have anything to praise God for, it's going to be difficult to praise Him. I need to have something current that God is doing or working out in my life so I can praise Him with a purpose. You got a project online right now that God's doing for you? You got something lined up that you've been praying for and God's about to release it? Oh, if you don't, wait, let's get in the Spirit, amen. Look at your life. Take an inventory. Is everything there you want? Is everything in place? Is there nothing wrong? No, every one of us got lost loved ones we're wanting to pray for. We've got health situations, job situations, perhaps marriage situations in our home. Those are the things we need to say, God, I'm putting your name on it. I want your blessings on it, God. And when you start to see a little bit of improvement, get up there and give your hands up to God and say, I want to praise you. Lord, I see the cloud the size of a man's hand. I see something happening in my family, in my life, in my job. Something's going on, Lord, and I want to give you praise for what you're doing, Jesus. You need to put some praise in front of your problem and let God help you with it. Amen. It'll boost your faith, but our purposes need to be spiritual purposes. That gap between prayer meetings, you know, really, the gap between prayer meetings is a killer. I'm not talking about ours now. I'm talking about in a believer's life. Because when the gap gets bigger, the gap between prayer meetings. When my wife and I were separated, before we was married now, before, you know, don't let that be your main thought. Before we got married, her dad was traveling as an evangelist. And sometimes she'd be near and we could see each other, and sometimes she was far, far away, further than I could possibly drive and still have a job. And so we would write letters. And I loved getting those letters from her. And she loved getting mine, although hers was 2-1, 3-1. She wrote more letters to me than I wrote to her. But it was the gap in between them that was just unbearable. There's about all of y'all and several others that can't even imagine that. What in the world? Because there wasn't any cell phones, Facebook, Snapchat, the other thing with the pictures, I don't remember. Instagram. I've got an Instagram account, never put anything on there. Forgot what, you know, what it's called or whatever, but how to get in. I'm hip. But think about this. We could not see or hear from each other. And her dad was in Fields, Louisiana. Fields, Louisiana is pretty much just fields, I'm thinking. I called the church because I said, Mom, look, I know it costs a lot of money to call long distance, and it did. $2.50 the first minute, and then $1.25 every minute after that. Yeah, it's why cell phones are awesome. And I said, Mom, let me just call that church. And I found the number of the church and called, and this man answered the phone. I said, I need to talk to Dawn Seal. Her dad's preaching there for you. Yes, sir, let me go get her. Now, when he said, let me go get her, I thought he was going to be like, it's for you. But what he didn't say is, I'm at the church office, and she is parked way down there. Or I'm in my home, and the church is way down there by their trailer, their travel trailer. It took that man about $9 to go get her and bring her back. Waiting. And when I heard the door, you know, as he left, in the time between him putting the phone down and getting to that door, I thought, he's walking really slow. I could imagine. I thought, I don't know how long it's going to be. And when she finally got to the phone, all I could think of is, this is expensive already. But it's so good to hear a voice. And the time in between there, I think that time we had gone 6 weeks or something, or 7 or 8 weeks, 2 months, 3, a long time before we saw each other. And so the gap in between. Now, see, y'all can identify with this, most of you. Because you know when you're in love and you don't see the one you love and you yearn. Understand that? That love is what God gave us to love people with. And that love is the love He has for you. The gap between when I talked to Him last time and this time he don't want it to be very far. No. See, this was a revelation when it was taught to me. I didn't get it. I always thought this was, Lord, I'm really fortunate to have you. And I'm glad you stopped to fill me with your spirit and to bless me with many things in life. What I didn't realize was the reason he put Adam and Eve in a garden is because he wanted a relationship with somebody. And when they went bad, he said, I'll just get me some people that will serve me because they want to. And that's what we're doing. But he puts his spirit in us to help us to overcome this flesh, which that is the glory of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It doesn't mean it is glory. It's the hope if we can only make use of the relationship. When I realized that my Savior waits to hear my voice, he loves for you to sing his praise and to talk to him. See, you know why that's kind of a different mode than what we're used to? We feel that we're just trying to struggle to serve him, to be right, to make it to heaven. And when we have trouble, we invite him in and he helps us. That's all true. But what he wants above all of that is us to spend time with him. And when he spends time with me and you, we get used to it. We know what his spirit feels like. We know what it's like to be around him. And when we know what it's like to be around him, we sense it when he's there. We sense it when he's there. When I met my wife, we'd just been going together maybe a month and a half. It's blurry because, you know, we don't know when it really started. It was very inclined, you know. And I bought her some perfume. Not like a major thing. It was one of them little, it was the perfect gift for, you know, are we or not, you know, just, and she reciprocated perfectly. And that perfume, she really liked it. And so for a while, I just kind of, that smell, that beautiful smell of Lauren was what I thought of. And when I'd smell somebody with it, I'd be like, that's not right. It's my girlfriend's perfume. And it would trigger the memories of, oh, I miss her so much. It's not even Valentine's year. I'm not trying to be always romantic, but I want to tell you, there is a romance in this relationship with God. He loves the fragrance of your praise. Oh, there's a fragrance that only he can smell, and it's the fragrance of praise. There was 5 parts to the incense that they were to burn in the tabernacle. And the Lord told Moses exactly how to make it. He said, I want the apothecaries to make it. They're going to do it just right. He said, but that is not to be taken anywhere else. I don't want that perfume anywhere else except in there. And the priests that go in there and minister to me and eat the showbread in the holy place where the candlelight's lighted and the altar of incense, when they go in there and they're going to smell that smell and their clothes are going to have the fragrance that they've been with me. And when you've been around the Lord, people can tell you've been with Jesus. Just like the apostles, they realized they had been with Jesus. And you're going to have a lingering aroma of the presence of God on your face and people can see it. He make sure. Oh, he loves to spend time with you. I'd smell somebody else that wore that perfume and I just want to go over there and give them a talk. I knew it wasn't right and I didn't. I wanted to say, that's special to us and you don't need to be wearing that. That's what I wanted to do, but I thought, you know, they got to sell it to other people. But see, our God is a jealous God. The Bible said that he's a jealous God. He wants you to give him your praise. I give him praise sometimes. It's kind of like the second I love you. You know, the second one, not the first one, but the second one. When somebody says, I love you, you go, yeah, I love you. That second one was an answer to the first one. But usually the first one is a little more, has more feeling in it, it's genuine. And I know I praise him sometimes, and I've felt it, and I've known it. We've all been guilty, maybe today, having our hands up and saying something to God, but our minds are somewhere else. What does he do? He waits for us to plug back in. He waits. He's a gentle Savior, and he loves your praise. When we praise him, whether we have the Holy Ghost or not, When we praise Him, He draws near. That's why those that are filled with the Holy Ghost are filled while they're praising Him most of the time. Because He draws near. He inhabits. Think of it like this. When you're offering up praise, it's as if a staircase has suddenly come down and He just starts walking down that staircase to you when you're praising Him. He's there. And if you're seeking for the Holy Ghost, let me just throw this out there to you. And you just begin to praise Him. Father, I love You. Jesus, I love You. Because it's in all of us, because He put His Spirit in us. The Spirit of man, not the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of man, the Bible said, is a candle of the Lord, searching out the innermost being. That Spirit you have, it gets dull because it's that human spirit with our soul that gets it a little bit polluted. But that is a spirit that knows there's something that connects with God. Even in any foreign country that we go, they always know there's just something about man that wants to praise God. He made us like that. And when you raise your hands and you begin to praise Him, He inhabits that praise. And you begin to feel something, and that's when you feel your mouth begin to go maybe a little numb, and you feel something going on, and you just keep on praising Him, and those words are suddenly going to become words you're not controlling, and you'll begin to speak in an unknown tongue. Oh, what an awesome and most beautiful thing that happens when He gives you the utterance to offer back to Him praises in a language that only He hears. God loves to hear your praise. I'm talking about being moved by the Spirit. Amen. Let us stand. I told you I wasn't going to be long, and I don't think I have been. But I want to give God time. You see, He loves you, and I love Him. And I want to give Him time to love you back. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. I would like to ask you something. I just feel inclined to do this. I felt it before I even came over here. Would there be someone here today that needs a healing in your body, that you'd come stand right up here, that we'd know that's what you're here for? I don't want to put anybody on the spot at all. Would there be a couple that has something in your family, in your home, in your life? It could be physical. It could be relationships outside the home, family, distant relatives. Is there someone here that just needs God to bless your home? God, we just need God to give us a breakthrough in our home. Is there someone here that could answer that? You know what? We're not putting ourselves under a spotlight. Only God knows. I appreciate your faith, Brother and Sister Griffith. I appreciate your faith. Is there any other couples? Our God's a healer. Church, He's a healer. Sometimes I wish I could transfer what I'm feeling to everybody in this church and understand what God was moving me to do over there, and I knew I didn't need to take long. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, come on down.